Welcome to the Metapod Podcast, a Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta that has a place that revolves all the time. Now, I don't know if Sean knows where I'm going with this. We have, Sean officially set this up over the weekend. We officially have a Discord server for all of you lovely listeners that want to join. So thank you, Sean, for putting that together. I know some people have asked for it in the past, in the description and whatnot, YouTube description, Spotify show notes stuff, Apple show notes, you'll be able to find it. It's free to enter. Few will, I'm just kidding, you all win, but
yeah. No, I mean, it's cool. I wanted to set something up for a few reasons. Like I made the joke on Threads. I was like, you know, it's a pretty standard practice of us to wait about a year or two until we launch a new social media thing. So
yeah,
like, you know, it took us how long to launch Instagram, and then how long to do a YouTube channel, and now how long to have a Discord. So just slowly.
This is the yearly, you know, update to keep you all interested and intact, you know.
Exactly. I don't know. I like it better as like, look, if people really want to like say something to us or get in touch with us or whatever, or just see what we're up to, it's probably the easiest place to do that, because I think Twitter and Instagram, like, we both check those, but I don't know. It's just different. It's just different, you know?
Yeah, the Discord is, I mean, I probably hang out on Discord more than any other platform, especially the more that I've gotten into like different card games, I would say, in different communities. So there are other things in there that you can do. Like you can get deck building advice from either us or other community members. You can just hang out, talk about stuff. Sean actually held like an event, has like a Discord event area. So like, Sean's going to be streaming another League Cup. If you don't know, Sean did that the other week, streamed a League Cup on his YouTube channel. So he's going to be doing that again. And like, that's got a date and time set that you can get a notification if you're interested. NAIC meetup. We'll talk a little bit about NAIC here in this episode. You know, that's got like a little meetup thing if you're going and want to meet up with Sean. Details TBD on that. And I know like for registration of NAIC, you had a little event for that as well.
I made little events for people who were thinking about going to NAIC and were like, you know, because the tickets sell out so fast, which we could talk about too briefly, but after this, but I just wanted to say, like, you know, it's sometimes really hard for regionals and internationals to like keep up with like, wait, when is it releasing? What website do I go to? Like, even for like me and Jake, like, you know, Indianapolis, LA, all those regionals, like, I don't always know when a regional goes live. It's just, there's not like a good centralized place. So because of that, I think it's sometimes useful to be a part of communities, and you can use a feature to help the people in your community know when the thing's happening. So.
But there's also different things that are coming in through there. I don't know if we can talk about them now or we'll talk about them in the future.
I'll say this. Nothing is live on the Discord yet, but I know that I'll just hint that I know that a lot of you have been interested in the Viridian Forest playmats that Zach Roy made for us so many years ago. So there may, in the very near future, be an opportunity for you to get one of those play mats through the Discord. So
that's what I was referring to. Yeah. I didn't know what I could say.
No. I've got it all approved by Zach and everything. So everything is above board. Those details will launch when they launch, you know, like, and look, for the most part, I'm not going to go into any more detail, but just keep an eye on the Discord. If that's something that you've always wanted to get and you just joined the Discord just for that, that's fair. Totally fair. But yeah.
You also get notifications whenever new episodes drop. If sometimes you need a little bit of a reminder, even though we've done Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. for the last several years,
yeah,
I think now. But anyways, either way, we're going to start off with a lovely Discord kind of review, a nice message that we got in the new Discord server from M. Kaiser. Hello, the Metapod helped me get into the game and it remains my favorite Pokemon TCG podcast. Thanks for all the hard work, guys. Thank you so much, M. Kaiser, for the lovely message. coming in. It was nice, you know, as people were like joining in, because some people found the link before the podcast episode, mm-hmm. this episode aired, obviously, because we're talking about it before that episode aired. Anyways, yeah. It was just nice, you know, the people coming in and like saying hi and, you know, welcome on in and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it was very cool. So appreciate the 20 of you who've already joined at the recording of this podcast. So
woo!
Big shout out to, I say 20, two of them are us, Jake. So 18 of you, 18 of you who have joined that are not us.
Actually 18 of you, 18 being all of my 18 alt Discord accounts. Anyways, we're going into more the news. We talked about NAIC registration. Sean registered for NAIC, and there was a lot of discussion revolving around it. And to be honest, I don't know a ton. I saw they used a new system, to my understanding. And here's where I'm going to pitch it off to Sean. The new system, they posted an entire flow chart. And I said, good luck, I'm not reading that. And so, Sean, take it away.
I mean, I think we mentioned in a previous pod that you needed to, there was a new registration that's happening through the Pokemon website directly. So like where you go and you find out about regional dates and NAIC dates and all of that, the same place that you would go look at your account for your like player ID, like, and how many points you have, that whole website, they're using that, they used, I should say, it's kind of already done. I guess you can probably get spectator passes still. But they're using that for NAIC registration, which is different. So like usually in the past, all the registration would happen through third-party websites. Most typically, it was RK9, which has been like for years and years now, they handle registration. And they also handle tournament pairings and reporting for many years. Mm-hmm. RK9 has done that at like big events, right? Not at your local like League Cups or anything like that, but like for big, big events. Mm-hmm. So... but yeah, this one was different. They're still using RK9, so you have to like go through Pokemon's website and register there and give Pokemon your money through there. And then mm-hmm. you also have to go to RK9 and register there. And part of that registration on RK9, I guess, looks to like a database that Pokemon has and says, did this person pay? You got this too, right? And then it takes a minute, and then they're like, yeah, we got this. And then Arcanine is like, cool, you're in. Which I'm like, that seems like the most inefficient way to run this whole thing. Yep.
So I just know that like they had, like on the Pokemon website, they had a countdown timer, and once it hit zero, it didn't really do anything. And there was a lot of people that like needed to log out after the timer hit zero and then log back in. Yeah, you did that?
Everybody. It was. Now, they did say, people are calling them out because they're like, oh, why didn't they tell us? They did say, you will need to log in when the timer, after the timer hit zero. So log back in. Now, whether or not you interpreted that as you can stay logged in, or you interpreted that as you need to log out until the exact time and then log back in, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. They did say.
And it's kind of a weird conversation because I think a lot of people will be like, what the heck? Why'd they do this? And it's like, well, they kind of told us a lot in advance that they were going to do this. I mean, there were videos, I think. Who was it? Trust Your Pilot, I think I saw, made a YouTube video about like how to register before it went up. And I know, I mean, it was definitely an interesting time to try a new registration, but again, I mean, there might be other things. But
I'll say this, Jake, I watched JW Krewal, Flex Daddy Righteous, or another host of the Tag Team podcast. He did like a whole 45 minute video on his YouTube channel about this, which I actually watched the whole thing.
I saw that he did post a video about the registration, but I haven't watched it yet.
So, I mean, he goes into a lot of detail about a lot of things in the video. I would encourage everybody, you know, he's a longtime player and he has a lot of experience going to big events. So like, I think his perspective is invaluable in many ways, but yeah, I think, the big things people were upset about most is the system was a little convoluted. Like there's like two websites that you need to register on. and it wasn't exactly clear how they interacted or whatever, you know. So I think obviously the fewer websites you need to interact with to just complete a simple registration, the better. So that I think is something that, you know, maybe they're working to integrate that in the future, but right now this is what's like a stopgap. Mm-hmm. And then the other issue that came up was when events like NAIC are just so big, but so popular that they're going to sell out really quickly, how does Pokemon, if at all, manage the number of people who want to attend, manage priority for people who want to attend, right? Like, because it is a feels bad for people who want to go for whatever reason that can't get in, you know? And what made it worse in this scenario was, you know how a lot of the time, Jake, if you go buy a ticket at like Ticketmaster for any concert or whatever, the second you hit like reserve a ticket, the system mm-hmm. gives you a like 10, 15 minute window with which to complete your transaction. Meanwhile, your ticket is held for that whole window time, right? They basically take it off the market and say, as far as we know, for the next 15 minutes, that ticket is sold.
That is what NAIC, or I'm sorry, that is what RK9 was doing. I don't know if they did that this weekend, but that's what they had been doing prior to this weekend for their event registrations. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like that system.
I mean, that's a common system, right? And like, yeah. It has its own downsides. That the main downside of that being you can go to register and it can say sold out to only be not sold out 5 minutes later because yeah. people didn't complete registration or whatever, right? Like they didn't complete the registration for whatever reason. So there can be a feels bad there. It's like, it's not actually sold out, but all of the tickets are currently being held. But that system works because it doesn't give you a feels bad after you thought you had a ticket and you go to finally pay. And then it's like, oh, JK, you didn't actually have a ticket. You were a little slow filling out your information. So it's mm-hmm. like both systems are bad in their own ways. But I would say that the previous system from RK9 and like most of their sites is a common bad way. A bad way that people expect maybe now. And the new yes. way that Pokemon did it was basically, whoever types fastest, you get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it is a true first come, first serve. Like
I remember seeing some tweets of like some people had like autofill information mm-hmm. from like their Google account. And so they were like, thank goodness Google got my autofill in for the event, you know.
I will say the one thing that really annoyed me with the system that I don't understand was mm-hmm. the system that they used was it was connected to your Google account to sign up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to like pre-register, it kept telling me no last name. And I was like,
Sean, you don't have a last name anymore. Sorry, right. You lost
and
it.
I was manually filling in the form field that said last name. And I was like, what's going on? I contacted support during pre-registration. And they were
and
like,
you still got a registration?
Well, oh, pre-registration. Yeah, during the pre-registration window.
Yeah.
And what they told me was, oh, you need to change your name on your Google account. And I was like,
oh.
So like my Google account, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but my Google account is connected to my YouTube.
Gyroshon, you know, right. Like Gyroshon plays or
right.
whatever.
So because of that, when I changed my name on my Google account, now my YouTube account and my Gmail and everything says Sean with my last name, and it does not say Gyroshon.
Sean Ketchum.
Right. And it does not say Gyroshon anymore. And I'm like, man, if I was like a content creator on the reg, that would be mm-hmm. really insane and annoying that like I can't select that. I basically, it doesn't allow you to select a last name that is maybe a legal last name, but is not the name that you go by on Google and through social media. And I'm like, that's mm-hmm. a problem. I told them that in the thing. I'm like, you probably shouldn't have it pull only the data from your Google account for that, because people's legal last names and their, you know, online personas are not the same. So don't
there's
make them
also people
that
just have preferred names right. in general based on their identity. So like that's another kind of thing.
So, that I think is less a factor of them being not, you know, being wrong, and more a factor of them just implementing a system as easily as possible without taking into account other factors. But that was the one particular weird thing that I experienced. I don't know if many other people would have experienced that, though.
I did while we were talking about it, because obviously, you know, I have to do 18 different things at once. I did see that you can still get spectator passes for the North American International Championships if you're planning on going and meeting Sean. Unfortunately, I will not be able to be there. But Sean, I know, boo, 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 hiss, get him off the stage. Sean will be there at least. And Sean's a wonderful person. I've never met him actually personally. Fun fact, but no, we've still never met. We will someday though. Anyways,
everybody can get pictures with me, and I'm gonna, you know what I'm going to do, Jake? I'm going to stand on a soapbox to make myself look like 6'5". And that way, whenever we send pictures to you, I'll just get everyone in the community to post pictures so that you see, like, man, Sean is so tall. That's crazy.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. Wow. You know what else is crazy? Sean, the Pokemon products that are constantly coming into the game made by the Pokemon Company International. A new set of EX battle decks are also coming out in mid-July, July 12th. For $10 each, they're going to be level 1 EX battle decks. They've been doing these battle decks for a long time. Great if you're trying to get into the game or teaching the game. They're basically like theme decks. Sean and I love these products. They're pretty cool. The level 1, they come with 1 EX in them and then a bunch of other cards. There's a Victini one and then a Maridon one. The Maridon one is not the one that has the ability on it. Yeah, not good Maridon, but
it's cool.
It is, yeah, I mean, it's a really cheap product that you can get a deck of. I think it's like literally, yeah, ready to play 60 card deck.
Yep.
And it comes with like damage counters, coin, you know, deck box strategy sheet. I don't know what that means, but yeah, I mean, it's just great for like the casual players and stuff like that. In February, they did release that Houndoom and Melmetal. If you're either a collector or maybe your kid or partner or friend's favorite Pokemon is Melmetal, because they're a Pokemon Go fan, you know, respectable. Yeah.
Yeah, these are great. I mean, like you said, like they're $10. If you're just playing absolutely for funsies or you're getting them for a kid, this is going to be an excellent buy. And like Jake said, we, between the EX battle deck and like the league battle decks that are like slightly, you know, better created and have more EXs and things,
higher like, level
higher, you know, level, right, between those, yeah, two, like, you know, I think Pokemon is just, there's in my opinion no better company at creating accessible entry products like this. Like, just, it's just incredible. So,
and they put these out all the time. Also, if you're a collector on these, the EXs, the Victini and the Maridon, they do have unique artworks on them. So if you're a promo collector, right, this is another one to maybe add to your list of these characters. But yeah, I mean, especially $10 if you got someone that wants to learn how to play or something. Pretty good product.
Next thing on the new product list, Jake, I know you were excited about this.
I love this.
I think that if I remember correctly, they do something like this every year, which is like a back to school set of products. But yeah, they're doing it again. This year it is, there's a few different products in here, right? There is an eraser blister. So looking at it now, you get two different blister packs. You get two different boosters in a blister. And then you get like this really funky eraser. There's two different ones.
Funky? No, that's not the right adjective. No, no, funky. It's not funky.
It's not funky? What is it? What would you call like Bellibolt? Bellibolt is a funky Pokemon.
No. Okay, maybe in that sense. But when you said funky, I'm thinking about like when you go to like the used game store and you find like their little chest of like quarter cool figures of Pokemon and they're all fake, you know, and it's funny.
These are cool erasers, but I will say I'll be interested to see people who actually use the eraser, like what happens to Gengar's face after like 20 erases.
I think it's interesting using Gengar. So I quickly pulled up the 2023 Eraser and Pendleton products. The erasers, they did this eraser and two booster pack combo product last year. It was Lechonk and Smoliv, right? Two brand new Pokemon as part of the new game. So interesting that they went back to like a Gen 1 Pokemon, now one of the more popular Gen 1 Pokemon out there in Gengar, and then also a new Pokemon. I thought it would be interesting if it like went with the theme of the set. Does Gengar go with the theme of the set? Does it have a character rare? I think the Ghastly... What set did that Ghastly...
I'm trying to remember what set Gengar EX came out in. Is there not a Gengar EX in Temporal Forces?
Oh, you know what? Maybe there is one in Temporal Forces. It's just bad.
Well, it moves your opponent's energy around when you hit it. When you hit with it. So it's kind of weird. It's a control.
There is
Gengar.
There is a Gengar in Temporal Forces, Gengar EX, which actually has a banging regular art, by the way. Yeah. Really, really good. So okay, that fits the theme. But yes, they have that, and then the pencil case tins, one of them has Charizard on it, right? Storing your pens and pencils, no surprises there. And then the other one has Maridon and Corridon on it. Those will be two packs inside of those, probably just like the product images of the pencil, or I'm sorry, for the eraser combo, one Temporal Forces, one Twilight Masquerade. It'll be 10.99 on those. And then they've got the collector's chest. I know some people that are huge fans actually of the collector's chest.
Yep.
One featuring some future Pokemon on it, and then one featuring some ancient Pokemon on it. That'll come with six packs in it, some promo cards. Those promo cards, I think, just being reprints. Two foil cards actually. So maybe foil versions.
Foiling. Yeah, they might be like, you know how on the blisters sometimes you do special foilings? It might be like that.
It'll come with some coins as well, some stickers, the usual lunchbox collector's chest is what I should say, that can be turned into a lunchbox. I actually have the Sword and Shield one down here. It's got some bulk cards in it. I like them. I think they're cool. So the back-to-school products, in my opinion, are really nice.
Yeah, I will say, if you want your kid to just roll up to the first day of school and just flex on all the haters, get them that back-to-school collector chest. You know,
because you also get the packs too, so they can't complain, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're like, oh, you got the pencil case? Oh, I got the collector chest, so, you know.
And also, if your child is much younger, you can just not tell them about the packs, get them the products, and keep the packs for yourself. Easy. Everybody wins. Anyways, that's all coming out in July 5th, ahead of the 2024-25 school year. So here in about 2 months, those will be out and about at your retail stores.
Jake, we have a couple of, you know, quick little announcements about new sets that have come out as well.
Or are coming out.
And the announcements
they're
are
not out yet.
The sets will one day. But we have a set called Supercharged Breaker listed for October and Paradise Dragona in September. These are the Japanese names. These will not be what our names will be. But what they do indicate is, yeah, these are the two sets. When when Paradise Dragona comes out on September 13th in Japan, means that we will almost certainly be getting our set on something like late September, most likely, like September 27th or something like that. So yeah, it'll be after Worlds for the next major set. So after Twilight Masquerade, it's a long wait for the next full set. But and it's what's cool about this though is it. The fact that the set is called Paradise Dragona means it's going to feature Dragon-type Pokemon as like a big deal. So you'll get a lot of maybe fan favorites coming back in EX form for the first time in a few years. So
Paradise Dragona will release on September 13th. And again, will feature many Dragon Pokemon, including Alolan Exeggutor, Latios, and Latias, and then Supercharged Breaker releases on October 18th. This has it will be accompanied by a release of a deck box and card sleeves featuring Terra type Stellar Pikachu. So that Pikachu probably being the mascot of this said supercharge kind of maybe implies lightning type on there. So maybe expect a new Terra type Stellar EX Pikachu card if I had to take a guess. So
I mean, I will say too, we got, there were some reveals of the new Stellar type Pokemon that happened.
Was it reveals or leaks?
Leaks, but very credible leaks. I don't know much about it, but I want to ask you, Jake, I don't know if you've played the new game, but please enlighten me.
The new game?
Well, like the current game.
Oh, the new like video game.
Right. Enlighten me as to why there is a difference between Terra and Stellar. What am I missing here? Because like I hear Terra Stellar type, and I'm like, these are hats on hats now. Which is it? Terra? Is it Stellar? Because I swear it cannot be a Terra Stellar type, because Terra was already, in my opinion, an already twist of a Pokemon, right? So you're twisting a twist.
It's all Pokemon can gain the type. They're treated as their base. I'm learning about it. I'm honestly trying to figure it out right now as well.
This feels like a pretzel of theming and nomenclature that I can't get out of. But
the Stellar type is the most recent type to be introduced. To be exclusive without a... Yeah, I really...
No clues.
Like, I think it works similar as like Terra types, where it's just like a super power up kind of thing. Any attempts to change the Pokemon's type to Stellar type into the Stellar type will fail.
Bruh.
Stellar type Pokemon are in practice always weak to Stellar type moves.
So it is literally a new typing. Like,
yeah, I think
fairy and
I
lightning.
Think so. Yeah, because it says when a Pokemon terrestrializes, into the Stellar type, it gains an attack boost for every move type, but only once per type, 2 times for the Pokemon's original types and 1.2 for every other type, including Stellar.
So it can't be.
It's
bothered.
Like a whole no. It's actually it's like a whole new type.
Yeah. I will say that the reveals, though, that we got from the leak suggest that this is more of a flavor and we're not actually getting a new type in the TCG.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, I will just say, like, from a balancing standpoint, they removed an entire type because it was hard enough to balance it with fairy. So, but what I will say is it looks like they are Terra types, but they have... moves, they have attacks that require crazy energy combinations. So think about them closer to 2 prize amazing rares. That's the best way my brain can process it. It's for the card game, they are EX amazing rares. That's how you should think about it.
I'm trying to see, yeah, because like, so there's a Cinderace one that has an energy requirement of fire, fighting, and dark. Lapras EX Stellar type, water, psychic, metal. There's 4 of them in total, and all four of them have 3 different energy type requirements on there. They all have 2 attacks, one of them having one that is just 1 energy requirement type, and then the other one takes like all 3 of them.
I mean,
it's an alleged leak, though. Is it real? Who knows?
You're right. It may not be real, but I buy it halfway, because I do think that the fun thing with Amazing Rares is there was a window of time when they were really good in a specific deck, that deck being Lugia. But they also saw some play. If I'm not mistaken, they saw play in... was it Mirage Gate decks too, briefly? I can't remember.
Say that one more time.
Well, anyways, they saw play in specific decks, the Amazing Rares. We really liked them conceptually. And I think that, you know, I would believe these leaks a little bit because the timing that they'll come out for us is probably going to be later in the year, maybe the 4th set of the year for us, which will mean that it's like one set out from the next rotation, which basically means that they will be in format with Colriss and Mirage Gate, which is, I think, is probably going to be one of the better engines for the deck, for only a year. So it will have a shortened window of time to take advantage of that energy acceleration type. So that's why I believe that this leak probably makes sense, because they're trying to, they want to reproduce amazing rares, but put it in a time frame where that gives the shortest amount of time feasible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
I always get skeptical, though, when I see an English supposed version of a card before I see the Japanese version.
But
I know we're trying to get closer to simultaneous releases, but I don't know. I still get skeptical.
But Jake, we do have one other set. We did talk a few weeks back, I believe, about the fact that we are getting a special set sometime in August. You know, similar to like the Pokemon Go set that we got last year, I believe. So yeah, this set, we don't really still know too much about it, but what we do know is that it is most likely to feature the Loyal 3 Pokemon from the recent DLC. And part of the reason is we also know that a few of those Pokemon cards were not in the set list, or not likely to make it in the set list for the English version. And that being Monkey Dory, Fezzendipity, there we go. And Okie Dogie, which is adorable. I love that name.
I know, they're great names.
Yeah. I mean, like, they nailed these names. They nailed
Hunky Dory, Serendipity, and Okie Dokie.
Yeah. Once you have to, like, I think the middle one, I was like, well, how? And then you said it, Fezzendipity. And I'm
The pheasant one is, it's just a lot of letters.
It's combined. A lot of letters that you never see together. And you're like, what's happening?
Yeah. Anyways.
But yeah, so those Pokemon are likely to make their appearance in the TCG as part of our special set in August, which also means that I believe they will be legal, because we got the date for that. They should be legal for Worlds. So if you really want to play an Okie Dokie deck, you know, you'll be ready to rock and roll for Worlds. You can meme it up.
I'm trying to see. I'm trying to see if they have a specific date on it.
They gave us a date before, and it was 2 weeks out from Worlds.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying
to see if they had it again, but
I mean, August 2nd. August 2nd. That's the date.
It also could showcase a Purrcharrant in either its withdrawn or regular form as part of the other section of the DLC.
Oh, I think that's supposed to be Petulant, so. Petulant.
Oh, I was gonna say I have no idea. It's English. I got nothing.
Anyways, we help each other here, Jake. I had no idea with the bird.
You help me, I help you. But Night Wanderer should be officially revealed in Japan next week, as that set should be showcased. So we should get more information as that drops. But yeah, hopefully, you know, I feel like we almost like peaked with Celebrations and Hidden Fate. Well, no, I wouldn't say that we peaked with Celebrations. It's a whole different thing. But like, you know, we got Hidden Fates and we got Paldean Fates and Shiny Fates and Fates, and then Dragon Majesty was a really good set that people like, and
yeah.
Celebrations was cool. Champion Path sucked.
Crown Zenith had some good illustrations.
It had some cool cards in it, but overall it just sucked. So hopefully this one is a banger.
Yeah. But Jake, one last thing to really discuss today, and that's we got Indianapolis coming up this weekend, right?
Yes, Indianapolis Regionals coming in, and a lot of people are excited about it. A lot of people as well are curious about it because of the format that's been going on as of late. A lot of people, in my opinion, are prepared for Charizard mirrors.
yeah, lots of Charizard. 22% of the field, probably.
Yeah, a lot of people talking about how, you know, I've been seeing a lot of like memes about it too and stuff, where people are like, Charizard is just so good and so dominant into so many of the decks. It's like, it's become like, if you want to safely like make day two or get points, you play Charizard. It's become the new like, it's become the new like safe deck to
ADP
do at least something with. Yeah, well, I wouldn't consider it on the same ground as ADP, because ADP was so dominant and gate kept so much.
Is it Mew VMAX then?
I would say it's more Mew VMAX and what it's kind of evolved to. It's like, it's dominant and it's really good. You can counter it and there, and you can beat it, but it's not like ADP levels of dominant for sure. Not in the, not in the ranges of Zoroark either. Like,
no, 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 it's not at Zoroark level just yet, but I will say this, Jake, I would love to, you know, not right now, but at some point go back and actually look at when ADP with the, you know, Zacian was out. Mm-hmm. There was like that window, right? How many tournaments did it actually win?
Well, not too many because COVID happened.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You remember
you're
that?
Right. Dang, you're right, Jake. Yeah, that probably, that's going to be hard to compare. But I will say, like, ADP Zacian was around for at least a month or two before COVID really, or at least a month, maybe just a month. But
and we can even, and we can even talk about the Players Cup, you know, global finals, right? There were two ADP Zacians in the Players Cup global finals. Pikaram actually dominated that event in Players Cup 2. Five of the top eight, it looks like, were Pikaram. Way back in that day before the 2020-21 season. So I'm trying to pull up real quick the 2019-2020 to see what I can find in there before the world shut down, really.
Well, the reason I'm saying this, Jake, is that like I think what people who live through it can all understand the problem with ADP, which was the line with ADP was so simple that if you went first, or even if you went second and had the right combo of cards, you get your GX off, and then it's two turns of boss, and then it's game over, right? And that's just the whole deck. And Charizard doesn't feel as oppressive because playing the deck is not so simple, right? So I think in that way, Charizard is definitely healthier. But I would also argue that Charizard has probably seen more success early in the format and just in general since it came out than ADP did. Like ADP, when it first came out, it was paired with Keldea. It wasn't quite right. The format wasn't quite there for it. You know, with Charizard EX, I think it was similar, right? Like it was a good deck, but it wasn't like the most dominant deck. But then when it had its moment to shine, Charizard has basically won every tournament in the last month or so since rotation, right? Have any other decks won a major event since rotation?
No, Gardevoir didn't. Did Gardevoir win? No, this is play limitless. I want regular limitless. Trying to figure it out, Sean.
That's the reason I think that, like, I know we downplay Charizard because it's not as oppressive to play against in some ways. It doesn't feel like a coin flip. But the deck itself, when piloted by a skilled player, just seems to always win tournaments right now, at least. So
Singapore had lost Tina
as the champion.
But yeah, I'm seeing but I'm seeing a lot of Charizards right now, like going through EUIC Orlando. Thailand had what is the Entei variant?
Yeah.
Of
but I mean, that's my point, is it's like it feels like the last 3-4 weeks have just been Charizard, 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 and like I don't want to downplay how dominant this deck actually is. Yeah, a lot of people play it and then it just wins.
Yeah.
So
I think we're still relatively early in a sense in the format and trying to still like develop things, right? I mean, the meta is constantly shifting based off of the performances, and so I think it will eventually, if not this weekend, eventually before like the next format starts, shift towards beating Charizard, right? Because if you don't beat Charizard, well, then you play Charizard, is what it's coming down to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the best decks that we're going to see to try to beat Charizard are the Tina variants, whether it's Lost Tina or Arc Tina. I don't know, honestly, what the exact right call there is. It may be that Arc Tina has maybe a better matchup with Charizard in some respects because it can find its pieces more consistently. Mm-hmm. But then maybe that has a worse matchup in other areas. So, like, it doesn't do as well at a super large tournament. Whereas Lost Tina, you have single prizers you can sort of throw out there in different matchups, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that sort of flexibility in Lost Tina maybe makes it a more versatile deck. But I don't know. Just if you're expecting to see, you know, a decent amount of Charizard, particularly in day two, I think Arc Tina might be the better play. But who knows? I think it'll just come down to who decides to play what.
I mean, I saw a couple of people, like a couple of different content creators, play Arceus Giratina. Like, they called it like an Arceus Giratina like control deck almost. Saw them playing with it, and again, it's just like ladder games, so it is what it is. You know, it's not like it's, you know, regional level training and testing, but. It seemed like a pretty interesting deck. And then we saw in Sao Paulo regionals the other week, a couple Arc Tinas making inside the top 10. So who knows? Yeah, I mean, I think Arceus Giratina is the one. Is Arceus Giratina the one that competes, or is it Lost Tina that competes more? I actually don't know the answer to that question.
I think that a lot of competitive players don't know either. I think that, like I was saying, it may be each one of them has better matchups outside of Charizard that, you know, are different. And so what do you expect to see, right? If you expect to see a lot of Ancient Box or like other single prize decks, I think that Arc Tina is not good probably in that matchup because your whole deck is a bunch of two prizers. So like, that's not great. And so maybe the Lost Tina is better. I don't know. Maybe in those matchups. I do think the one thing you'll see a lot more of starting in this weekend, though, I think you'll see a lot more Lost Cities being played as a stadium of choice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know in what deck, but I do think that, especially like, I think Chen Pao, if it runs hot, it has a decent time against Charizard because it can hit those big numbers and you can math your way to six prizes. You know, if you like can go after a Lumineon or Rotom on the right turn.
A lot of people also running like a canceling Cologne combo with the Prime Catcher to like hit with the Manaphy and take out a couple babies.
Right. Like, you know, situationally, that deck actually, like, if you go first, Charizard doesn't have the best setup in the world and you can Radiant Greninja either with canceling Cologne or maybe Charizard didn't get Manaphy out for whatever reason. Pretty devastating for a Charizard to not have Charmanders or Pidgeys. So yeah, like I think Chen Pao will be an interesting play. That one always, I think, just comes down to how hot does the Chen Pao player run, because a couple of bricked games here and there where you prize one too many Backscalibers, you prize
the Lost Cannon deck.
Right, you prize
or
your
Glass Cannon, not Lost Cannon.
yeah, but like, you know, you're prizing of your evolution Pokemon, or to be frank, Lost City, I think, really hurts the deck. If you kill their, you can just go after their Chen Pao's. Kill their Chen Pao's with Lost City. They only play two Chen Pao's most of the deck, so then, you know, job done. Okay.
Who are they going to attack with? Backscalibur? Right. Okay.
Iron Hands? Cool. Bring it on. So I think that, but I do like Chen Pao as like a dark horse, but outside of that, you know, I don't know, maybe Gardevoir has an outside chance, or maybe Ancient Box. Those are the other two that I think, that's my five that I'm looking to.
I stand by my statement that Gardevoir with a extremely dedicated pilot is a good deck. I don't think it's a great deck, but I think, you know, it'll have its shine of one per tournament in the top eight just because a person has been grinding it for so long and knows the matchup so well. But I think to answer like who can play Lost City, I think actually like Arceus Garatina is probably the best option to play Lost City, right? Because you don't ever cycle your evolutions or your V stars. So that's something that you can just, you know, sure, go into the Lost Zone. But you don't really have a stadium, I don't think, that you want to play, right?
Not really. I mean, you might
not in place to not because you never play for Sealstone.
No. I was trying to think maybe there's a collapsed stadium somewhere in there, but I doubt it.
It depends. Yeah. I mean, what your support Pokemon look like.
I think that you're right. I think the Tina Dex, particularly Arctina, does like Lost City. The only thing I think you ever want to recycle in that deck is Iron Leaves. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
And that's only sometimes, right? Like, that's only in the Charizard matchup, which, like, sure, whatever. If I'm in the Charizard matchup, I don't know if Lost City matters against Charizard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that match, maybe you just don't play the Lost City and call it a day, right? You're like, okay, well, I'd rather recycle my Iron Leaves, and so I won't play this card.
I will say all three of the top Arceus Tina list from Sao Paulo regionals, 7th, 9th, and 26th, they all played at least two copies of Lost City.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of that, I will be interested to see if more copies of Grabber and Hand Trimmer find their way and how much Airy gets played, because that's the one other thing that I think about this format in particular is the top decks generally are pretty setup heavy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's not, like, other than Turbo Hands and maybe Ancient Box, there's not really any other major decks that are just like go, go, go every turn. And every turn you're basically starting from scratch, it feels like. And so, with Charizard, and with Arceus, and with Chen Pao, and with Gardevoir, all of those decks require you to start your turn with some crucial cards in hand. So, I don't know. I would also see, like, whether it's Charizard playing Airy, or who knows? Maybe Arceus Giratina, you know, kind of goes back to the pre-post-rotation roots of, like, well, we don't have Path to the Peak, but we do have Grabber, and we do have Airy, and we do have Lost City, so we're going to be a very disruptive deck. We'll play those. Mm-hmm. We'll play Judge and Iono, and make it so that you never feel comfortable with the hand of cards you have.
I will say the last several tournaments, most Charizard lists have been playing that one of copy of Airy, and like you said, you know, just making your opponent uncomfortable is just a good tactic in general right now. If you've got a one card spot, you know, it's not a bad option. Because ripping when you know they have a couple items in hand, or maybe a huge hand, right? They have a substantially large hand. You got to know that there's two items in there that can help them out. So being able to use that can just be super strong.
Jake, if you had to pick one deck, though, to think, like, what do you think is going to come out on top this weekend?
I actually kind of want to go with Arceus Garatina. I kind of want to ride that train. I think it can do well because, again, I like the idea of, like, Arceus, especially in the early game. Charizard can't really do much to it. And then, especially with, like, the Lost Cities, like, getting rid of some of those important Pokemon and maybe forcing them to hit with, like, Radiant Zard. Okay, like, my Giratina, like, they're going to have to get a Pidgeot out, right? That's a perfect number for Giratina. They leave any of those smaller Pokemon outright in terms of, like, Rotom and stuff. Well, your Arceus can boss it up and knock it out. So I'd be really curious to see how Giratina Arceus can do and what its, like, favorable matchups are. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't done the testing, right? I don't know the matchup spread. But I do, in theory, thinking about the different decks, I do like it at least against Charizard. And whether that actually comes out in fruition, we'll see. I've been wrong before, I'll always admit that. But I have gotten some things right every so often. So a broken clock is right twice a day. So
yeah, I mean, for me, as much as I want to say Charizard, I want to let's pick something different.
Any non-Charizard deck, what's the non-Charizard deck to win?
I think Ancient Box is still slept on. Not that people don't know about it, but like I don't think as many people play it as it deserves. I think it's a really strong deck. I think the problem that it faces in Charizard matchups is Turo, right? Like, and if you expect to see a lot of Charizard, or if you know that it's a lot of Charizard in the field at least, like, oh man, there's one card in your deck.
No, two cards. A lot of them play two, you know.
Yeah. So it's like, that's a problem, right? But I don't know. I think that Ancient Box can find ways to still win, you know, and if it gets lucky, and like we were talking about a few weeks ago, these tournaments are enormous. Even if 22% of people play Charizard, you might only hit one or two Charizards on day one, and maybe one or two on day two. And if you get lucky against one or two of those, you're sitting pretty in going into top eight, right? If you can beat everything else and only hit a moderate number of Charizards, which is, I don't think, unreasonable. I think a good player could do really well with Ancient Box in this format because Turbo Hands is popular, which is a problem for Ancient Box, I think. But Turbo Hands is also very vulnerable to one lost vacuum. And I think Ancient Box can handle that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Indianapolis plays out. I wish I could go. I thought about this the other day and I was telling somebody about it. I was like, because for any lore podcast listeners, you know, those that keep up on the lore book and scribe different moments in our history, will remember that when we first started the podcast, I was living in Indianapolis. And we never had a regional when I was living there. At least playing and when we started the podcast. So I wish that I could be there. I love Indianapolis. I kind of miss Indianapolis at times, but it'll be fun. Very walkable for anybody who does not know. It's a very walkable city, especially this time of year. you get to walking. There's some good spots. Maybe join our Discord and I can give you some recommendations of some places to check out in Indianapolis if you're going, if you've made it this far in the podcast.
Yeah. I love that, Jake. So ask if you're out there and you're like, where should I go eat? Jake, I'm downtown. Help.
Jake, downtown. Oh, downtown is a little bit more expensive.
We'll see if Jake can offer any advice.
Yeah. But anyways, Shine, you got anything else you want to talk about today?
That's it for me.
That's all for the Metapod Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. With the evolving... Oh my God, I've screwed it up.
Do it again. Do it.
In 180 some episodes, I finally messed it up. The Metapod Podcast revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean, and we'll see you later.